The first of this morning's two scriptures comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew, we hear Jesus reply confidently to the persistent and ongoing questions from the Pharisees as they struggle to understand and believe. Hear these words from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, that we have called the greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And then from the New Testament book of Colossians, hear these clear instructions for living for all who have been made alive in Christ. From Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." May these words of wisdom and truth nourish our souls and bring everlasting hope and peace. Amen.
Please rise if you are able and let us sing our sermon hymn. Our sermon hymn is "Take the Name of Jesus with You." It is found on page number 116 of your red hymnal if you choose to follow along there. So let us sing.
Thank you. Please bow in prayer. Lord God, as we look at some of the precious teachings of Jesus this morning, we pray for the active presence of your Holy Spirit that we would soak in, that our lives would be filled with your love, a love for you and a love for all. In Christ we pray. Amen. Continue in another sermon series, this one on discipleship and what that might mean in our daily lives, with the question this week of what is our purpose as God's people? What is our purpose as God's people? If you're looking at the sermon notes in the bulletin, you'll see that I have an outline there about a question and then about Matthew 22 and Colossians 3. But when we think about a question like, what is our purpose as God's people, how do we answer that question? I give you some sources, some possible answers. Prayer and discernment, conversations and discussions with other Christians. We can read books. One that was given to us a few years ago was Purpose-Driven Life. We can answer it by our own life experiences, and we can use the Bible. Now, I have those in reverse order of what I would suggest we follow, and that we try to have the Bible first. All those other sources are very appropriate, but we really want to begin with reading the Scriptures to see how God wants us to fulfill our purpose as His people. So the Bible needs to be the standard, the highest source, as we look at the Scriptures. And from Matthew 22, we have this experience where the chief priests, the elders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they've all been going through these questions, trying to trick and trying to trap Jesus. They want to embarrass him in front of others so that maybe they will give up following him, but they also want to satisfy their own leadership. And so they ask this latest question: which is the greatest commandment in the law? And when you see capital L in the law in the Bible, probably refers to the Ten Commandments, but it also can refer to the entire Hebraic law, which is 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And maybe they're trying to embarrass Jesus by having him pick just one, and then they can say how much he is neglecting all the other 612 laws. So which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus, being Jesus and all wise, gives the answer. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all that you are. That is the first and the greatest. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Not just love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself. As you love yourself, you should love your neighbor. So we have the first and the greatest commandment and the second. Those are core principles. They are summing up the law. They are summing up both the Old Testament and the New Testament that we have from the Lord. They give us order and quantity and dignity in these core principles. The first one offers a clear meaning to love the Lord. Now, because we're human and we're sinners, that is impossible for us to do completely, perfectly, but we still strive every moment, every day, to love the Lord our God. And the second is, in the same way that we care for ourselves and the care for our own interests, we are to offer that same care, those same encouragement to the interests of others. And if we truly love God, our love for God will be revealed in our love for our neighbors, for others. The reading from Colossians 3, I'm not really going to speak on, but I wanted to put that in there as other practical wisdom from Scripture that we can live out as we love the Lord our God and love our neighbors. So the first and greatest commandment: to love our God. That means in our love we are pursuing righteousness. We're not pursuing evil. We're not pursuing temptation, but we are pursuing righteousness, which is the right behavior as contained in Scripture. In our love for God, we are to have a joy of reading the Bible. That's how we get to know God, by reading the Scriptures. And so that should not be a drudgery, something that we try to quickly get through every day, but it's supposed to be filled with joy. We are to set holy priorities, not our priorities of what we want to get done each day, but what are God's holy priorities for ourselves each day. And we are to honor God. In our love for God, we are to honor God with our life, with everything that we are about. The second commandment, to love our neighbor, to love our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, who is our neighbor? Anybody know who our neighbor is or who our neighbor isn't? Who is our neighbor is answered in Luke 10:25 in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Our neighbor is everybody and anyone. We are to love our neighbor. And it goes with Matthew 7:12. So in everything, Jesus says, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor. Here's an illustration from a colleague, a pastoral colleague. He wrote, I stepped outside my hotel room yesterday, and I saw a thin elderly woman taking small steps in a circle. And she seemed to be mumbling to herself. And then her eyes connected, and she said, they left me here, and I don't know where they have gone. I don't know what room I am in. I held out my hand, and she grabbed mine. And I said, let's walk down to the office and see what we can find out. And as we walked into the office, an elderly man was walking out. And he began to gently scold the older woman. I told you to stay in the van. You were supposed to be in the van. What are you doing out here? He then thanked me and then explained that she had Alzheimer's. And then the pastor wrote, was she my responsibility? Was it my moral obligation to stop and to help her? I mean, she wasn't my mother. I didn't know her. Would I have been sinning just to go out to my car and drive off? I hope that from now on, when you see a situation of someone that's obviously confused or in need, you remember this illustration. And you live out Matthew 7:12. Do to others what you would have them do for you. Matthew 7:12 teaches us what our Heavenly Father asks of us, to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about in both of these passages in Matthew 22 and Matthew 7:12, it's a sacrificial love of the cross. It's the love that Jesus has for all people when he went to the cross. To love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. Self-love. Sometimes we can struggle with self-love, that we can build ourselves up and we can have too much of an ego, or we focus everything about ourselves, and too much is not good. But too little is not healthy either. And so the self-love is in proportion, but we are to have love of ourself so that we can have dignity, we can be taken care of, and we can have love to share with others. Self-love is so ordinary that Jesus uses it as a reference point in this passage from Matthew 22. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Another pastor wrote, when I was in elementary school, the teacher sometimes solved the first problem on a sheet of homework to show us how the others were supposed to be solved. Jesus used our love for ourselves in the same way. Notice how you love yourself, he said, and love your neighbors in the same way. When you get hungry, do you get something to eat? When you see somebody hungry, In our love, we get them something to eat. When we see somebody in a troubled situation, we can think of ourselves in that troubled situation and how other people came to help us. Self-love, that we can love one another. And then the rest of my little time, I want to make some very practical examples of what it means to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I asked permission yesterday morning of Anna Yoder to talk about the love that Eric and Anna have for children that are in tough situations. If you know Eric and Anna, you know, they have four little boys. I would think that'd be enough to care for. But when they asked me to write a recommendation to become foster parents, I said, what? But if you know Eric and Anna, they have love. They love God and they love their neighbors, and so they're foster parenting a little child right now. I got to share that with them because they were at 8 o'clock service. I think about Matt Hines when he covered a Sunday last year in sharing the meditation, and he talked about a teacher's love for a child that might have been considered a problem student, and yet the relationship that they had from being in school until that time the teacher had retired, there was a strong love that was built up there because the teacher had a love for a student and for all students. When I think about examples of love, I go all the way back to when I was in fifth and sixth grade, and I think of the names Jim and Ethel Maring. Now, none of you came from over in my Akron neighborhood, so those names mean nothing to you, but I can think about them. They were my Sunday school team, not only in fifth and sixth, but also going into confirmation. And a lot of my faith foundation begins with those two individuals because they love God enough to love teaching children about Jesus, and they did that for decades. And as soon as I thought about Jim and Ethel Maring, I thought about Betty Henry. And if you've been around St. John's for a while, you could remember Betty Henry. She taught Sunday school, fifth and sixth grade, for decades. I mean, like four decades. And she always went above and beyond. And the ways that I remember the most is for, at least in the years my kids were going through there, she was a quilter, she was a sewer, and she made wall hangings. Beautiful wall hangings are the one that Ryan and Amy have are about a Christmas scene. And she would spend time for all of those. I mean, when Ryan's class, there were 13 kids she made wall hangings for. That is love of passing on that scene of Christmas. When you think about loving neighbors, we think about our missionaries that we support, and all missionaries. Had a conversation last week with some people that were involved in hospice, and they experienced the love of Jesus through all of the hospice staff and the hospice nurses. Think about mission trips and situations that the congregation is involved with over the year. We go on those because we love our neighbors. We're called to love our neighbors. And those neighbors are here in our area, but they're also around the globe. When I think about an example of love, I don't remember her name. I didn't look it up. But the director of development that came and talked in December from Crossroads. And the staff at Crossroads has a love for hurting youth. And then another example, so I want you to look back in your own lives and think about those individuals that stepped in and did something special for you in encouraging you in the faith. Now, we're supposed to love our neighbors, and our neighbors are all around the world, but Dr. McAleer was actually my neighbor. Here was the Chrisman house, here was the Gallett house, and here was the McAleer house. And they lived on the corner, and I won't bore you with too many details, but after my father died when I was 13 or 14, I can never remember what year, Dr. McAleer invited me to go on the Boy Scout trip that he was leading. Now, at that time, he didn't have any children, but he was a Boy Scout leader, and he took me on a canoe trip up into the wild waters of Canada. It was an amazing experience to be around Dr. McAleer other than just mowing his yard. And he poured into me that week just a love for others. And I will always remember that experience of how he poured into my life, and he became much more than just somebody I mowed the yard for as the rest of the time I lived there in my home. I want you to think, I challenge you to think about people that have poured Jesus Christ into you, and to remember what that means to you. And I want you to find those people that you can pour Jesus into their heart. Remember to give the Lord thankful love for having those people in your lives, but also thank the Lord for that love that challenges us to rise up and share in discipleship the love of Jesus Christ. For the glory of God and for the peace of God's people. Amen.
It is a privilege and joy to give our first fruit offerings to God. At this time, I invite the ushers forward to receive our morning's gifts and offerings. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you take our offerings and gifts and make them yours to spread your love and provisions for others in ways beyond our limitations. May they multiply and provide faith, hope, joy, and comfort to the least of these that you have called us to serve. We dedicate them to your heavenly purpose on earth. Amen.
Let us sing our closing hymn. It is, O Master, let me walk with thee. It is found on page number 451 of your red hymnal. After our closing hymn, we will have our spoken benediction, and then our benediction and song will be Set My Soul Afire. Set My Soul Afire, found on page number 294. We will be singing verse number 2. Let us sing, O Master, let me walk with thee.
Thank you.
Knowing of and trusting in God's love for you, may you go forth and share that love in the world. Amen.